2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. And there came a man from Baal. Now you notice that next word. Depending on your source of pronunciation, Schofield pronounces it Shalisha. My Cambridge Bible and Strong's and others pronounce it Shalisha, regardless, and I'll make point to that in a moment. This man came from this town. The Bible says, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, he being Elijah, said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what? Should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give unto the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Let's bow once more and just ask God's aid to our hearts here today. Now, Father, we do praise you for all of the truth of Scripture. And we thank you for the words of our Lord Jesus, who told us that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. We acknowledge that this is your word and that there is instruction here and help for us. Please, Lord Jesus, meet with us this morning. Aid these young ones. Minister to these old ones. And most of all, may the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified in our presence. And we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Our Bible is filled with the offerings of little things. Little things. If I would title the message here to you in these few minutes, it would be the offering of your little gift. And so since our Bible does emphasize this offering of little things, it's kind of my focus for you here this morning. Our Bible speaks of the believers there in Macedonia, that they were a very poor people. They had, out of a great poverty, had given, I don't suspect a substantial amount, most likely a small amount, but large to them, because of their poverty. But we remind you that we're emphasizing little things here this morning. Our Bible points out in several locations these gifts of little things. As a matter of fact, we're just about at Passover, and you might remember there in Exodus chapter 12, they were instructed just to bring a lamb, a small lamb. Remind you that in Leviticus 12, how that the Scripture speaks of those children, male and female, were born, and that the offerings could be again brought a lamb, but many of Israel would not have that kind of finance. They would be allowed to bring something as small as a turtle dove, a pigeon. I remind you also that Gideon's band had to be shrunk from 32,000 to 300. God dealing with small things. Elijah had come to the widow's house and he said, make me a cake. She said, I don't even have sufficient for a cake. I've got a handful of meal and just a little oil. And as you know, that little amount supplied for many days. Elisha instructed the widow of the prophet to take her pot and fill multitudes with her little. In the New Testament, we have the widow's mite, two little pieces of money cast in. The old Schofield says it was probably about 1.4 cents. Now, that was Schofield, that was long ago. Inflation may have it to a quarter by now. But the widow had little, did she? And she cast it all in. And our Lord honored this offering of a little. And even as yesterday we celebrated and remembered the offering of our Lord Jesus, and He rode in on a little donkey. Well, my interest, as you can tell this morning, is on these things that are little, that are offered to God, that God takes and uses. And so I'm interested this morning in this man. The Bible says here in verse 42, "And there came a man." He's a man from a obscure location. The only time this Baal, and if you wish to pronounce it Shalisha or Shalishah, however you wish, he's an unnamed man. And he comes from a small and obscure location. That's important. Something for us to note here this morning. And this man has something in common with all of the, with many of the saints of God and with you. Let me ask you this. How many of the names can you tell me that were saved on the day of Pentecost? We know there was 3,000, yes. Do you remember any of their names? You can't pull up their names, can you? All through the Scriptures we have mentions of God's people. And for the most part, their names are not given. So this man has something in common with the no names of God's people. All across this globe, there's a multitude of Christians in every land, and yet you don't know most of their names. It's not important. There's someone who does know their names, and he takes account of them. So we have a man from Baal Shalishah. He's an obscure man from an obscure location. And the man has much in common with the unnamed masses of Christians. There's something else that's also common to this man. It's common to be unknown, as you are right now. Unknown to most, but known to God. There's a second thing about this man. He brought, the Bible tells us, the first fruits. Now God in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16 had given a command. You plant your crops, you can anticipate a harvest. God wants you to bring the very first fruits. So there's something about this no-named man, unknown man, from an obscure location. But there's something common about this man to the people of God, and that is he's obedient. He's obedient. Let me remind you, if you're not aware, of the circumstances of the moment. Look back at verse 38. The Bible says, "And Elisha came to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land." What is a dearth? Poverty, famine. No water, little bread. Our Bible goes on to describe how that even the sons of the prophets had become scavengers to eat. Well, that's certainly not a health, wealth gospel, is it? But that's the circumstance. And now we have a man who shows up with the first fruits, which is a hint that something had begun to change. While the land had been in dearth, very little, not much to eat, the people of God scavenging to find something to eat, there is a man who had been obedient, and God had allowed him to put in a little crop. Must not have been very much. He could only bring out of the first fruits 20 cakes, some ears of corn in the husk. But he has something common with the people of God. He is obedient. He had faith in God. I do remind you that Elisha is ministering in the northern kingdoms. Israel had been cut off from the worship of Jerusalem. But this man would not be deterred, even though he would be cut off from the opportunity of traveling to Jerusalem. He would not be deterred, though he could not give his first fruits to Aaron's sons. He would give his first fruits to God's man. So he is an unknown man. He has that in common with most of us. He is an obedient man. I trust that's part of your life. We would also call him a supportive man because it does say he brought the man of God. He brought the man of God. He didn't bring him gold and silver. He brought him loaves and ears. Not a very impressive offering, is it? Something very simple. Bread is the simplest of foods. But that's what he brings. That's what he had. It's what God had given to him. And he is supportive. But his offering was specific. The Bible here definitely tells us this man brought the man of God. So his offering was a very specific offering. He didn't have any illusions about either the smallness of it or the simplicity of his gift. But how long would it feed the man of God? That is who he intended to have this. He brought it to the man of God. Would it feed the man of God for one day, 2 days, a week? It wasn't very much, as is noted in the text. But nonetheless, he brought it to the man of God. And so he was supportive of God's work and God's agenda. There's another and final thing that I note about this man. There was a promise of a change of fortune for him. Because I remind you, there's a dearth in the land. Very little for anyone to eat. The sons of the prophets are scavenging just to find something to have. But he had been able to plant a little crop. In all of this dearth, here is a man who had hope. How do I know that? He had held back. He had not eaten all of his grain. He had held a little back that he could put in a little bit of a garden, have a little bit of a harvest. He's a man of hope. That is also characteristic of the people of God. We're unknown, we're obedient, we're supportive, but we're also a people who have hope. But now I take your attention from this man to the man of God. Our Bible says here that when Elisha received this, the Scripture says, very simply, he said, "Give unto the people that they may eat." Do you notice that there's not a moment of calculation whatsoever in Elisha's mind? It doesn't appear that he sees this 20 little loaves and however many ears of corn in the husk. I have no idea. It's not mentioned. It's not very much, though, and it's very simple. But the wheels of Elisha are not turning, thinking, now, how am I going to ration this out? How many do we have here seated today? Somewhere near 100, maybe? 20 loaves of bread and a few husks. Should we set that before all of this congregation that's here today? There isn't any calculation in his mind that might be able to take a little piece of crust and give to each one of you. And I remind you of the hunger that would have been there. So he is neither calculating how much each one could have a little of, or how he could ration it out to maybe last for 2 days or 3 days. No, you find there is an immediate statement. Give unto the people that they may eat. A bit of a startling statement, considering how small and insignificant the gift was. But you know, God had given Elisha a word. Now that word had not been revealed to the rest. It was a word inside Elisha that he could see these 20 loaves. He knew that this was the supply of the living God. And he had that word of confidence in his soul. And he could immediately say, let's set this out for everyone. Part of this in the Scripture here is given to us to expose and uncover the man who is the servitor, who later we know him by the name of Gehazi. And you remember the end of the story with Gehazi. Naaman comes, and the leprosy of Naaman ends up on who? Gehazi. So there's something about the character of this man who was a professed servitor, servant. In the moment, he is uncovered in a very simple, straightforward statement. He says, "What? Shall I set this before 100 men?" Now, in the moment that I read this, you might think that Gehazi was concerned for the reputation of Elisha. But I don't think so. If he had said, "What shall we set?" But that's not what he said, is it? He said, "Shall I set this?" Gehazi was not prepared to bear the shame and insult of setting such a paltry amount before the sons of the prophets. But the Bible tells us that Elisha repeated the command, but with the assured confidence of saying, "Thus saith the Lord, everyone will eat, and there's going to be leftovers besides." The burden that I've come to give to you this morning is the offering of your little gift. I ministered in upstate New York, as Dr. Anderson gave in my bio, and I wondered why my wife got an applause and I didn't. But I served there in those years of ministry in a tiny little place called East Worcester, New York. How many have heard of East Worcester, New York? Oh, come on. How could you have heard of East Worcester, New York? That's pretty amazing. That throws me. So there's a few here who've heard of East Worcester, New York. Must have just been on a sign going down the highway. I served in this tiny little village. Served in a tiny little church that had closed, somewhat lost its testimony in the village. And it took years of recovering of that testimony. I even had a missionary call me one time. He was interested in coming to see if our church would be interested in supporting him and his work. And he made quite the derogatory comment, because he could see on the map, this is just a little place in the middle of nowhere. Made some comment about me pastoring probably in just a small little place. Needless to say, I didn't invite the man to come. There was a whole lot more to the conversation than just that. It will be that many of you young men preparing for the ministry will someday end up in a little place, in a little town, somewhere in our great land. I want you to be willing to acknowledge, first of all, that the best of your gift is really just a little gift. Very little. The passage of Scripture that I had Dr. Anderson read to you there from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is a reminder that the apostle writes to that church and says, what you have, you've been given. Not everyone is willing to live a life as a no-name. I attended Southland Bible Institute, and in my years of ministry, I would occasionally go into a pastor's fellowship there in upstate New York. And as you meet these pastors who had gone to school together at different schools, my face would be an unknown face. And when pastors meet, invariably what they ask is, well, where'd you go to school? And so I'd look at them and I'd say, Southland Bible Institute. And you can immediately see registered on their face. They didn't know what that was. They didn't know what box to put me in. If I'd said I'm from Bob Jones, well, they know exactly what that box is. Appalachian, well, you've got a name now. They know what that is. But Southland? No, that was just a tiny little place. I met my wife in Wolf Pit Holler. It is a great blessing if you can receive and acknowledge that the best of your gifts, and there may be some of you young men and young women here, that God has given some gifts to, but I want to remind you that your gift is really very small. It's not impressive. Some may pat you on the back and try to build you up, but you know, the further we move along, and I can promise you that Dr. Anderson would say the same, we discover really how small our gifts are and how insignificant we realize ourselves to be. And so I want to encourage you as young people, our God will never use anyone that's full of pride. And our Bible simply tells us, doesn't it, that He resists the proud, He gives grace to the humble, and tells us to humble ourselves under the hand of God. This morning I want to ask you as I close, are you a no-name man bearing small and simple gifts? Or do you have the spirit of a Gehazi? And you really would like for people to take note of you. Now, first of all, I'd pray that God would deliver you from that. And if you can't be delivered from that, I would pray you'd be delivered from serving in any church. Who maketh thee to deliver, to differ from another? God's gifts He's given to you are small, insignificant, but what a joy you can take those little gifts and God will turn them for His honor and glory. Elisha, of course, prefigures our Lord Jesus. Elisha had 20 loaves and some husks of corn, and he fed 100. Our Lord Jesus took far less and fed far more in the feeding of the 5,000. And I think it's significant that the Holy Ghost had Matthew write in reference to that when the Lord Jesus said, "Now, I want you to feed them." Matthew wrote and he said, "We have 5 loaves, 2 fishes. In the Gospel of Mark, the Holy Spirit has Mark record that when Jesus said, "You feed them, go see them what you have," it says they went and they came back and said, "We have." Luke does the same thing. Luke records when Jesus said, "You feed them." The Bible says the disciples said, "We have." It's not until you come to the Gospel of John that when the Lord Jesus says, "You feed them," and the answer is, "Lord, what can we feed them with? 200 penny worth isn't enough to give them just a little bit." But in the text of John, it says, "But there's a lad here." Now, don't you find that instructive that the Holy Spirit lets it be brought out in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have. It's not until you come to the Gospel of John that the true source of those 5 loaves and 2 fishes is a little lad. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us we're prone to want to take credit. Well, Lord, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. May God strip us from what we think we have to offer and realize that all that God has given to us is, and truly, it has been given to us. And may God use your little bit, your little loaves. If you'll bring it and offer it to Him, He will multiply it. But never for your glory. It must always only be for His. Lord Jesus, thank You for the privilege of pointing these precious ones who will serve You in their generation to further be servants, taking the simple things that You've given to them. And Lord, would You graciously multiply it. Multiply it to honor and to glorify Your own name. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.